This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batzer. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We are Disney watching. Jeff is a veteran Disney. Yodeler Bliss, Deckhand Bliss, Engineer Bliss. And right now, we're looking at a statement put out by a challenge to the board. The man's name is Pelson. He's challenging the idea that the board has been status quo ante for years while the Disney stock has declined. There does not seem to be any registration of those declines from the board. He sends statistics out in a document called RestoreTheMagic.com. You can find it online. There are 11 board members that I count here, unless I miscount. And the board member time on the board extends from minus 54% to minus 12%, all minuses in their time of tenure. They are all apparently related to tech, as far as I can understand from looking at their backgrounds. They're esteemed members, executive members of their industries, but this is tech. This is California Silicon Valley. It is not the challenge for Disney, which is to stay with the brand. You've gotten off brand. You've alienated the people who got you there. Jeff, a very good evening to you. How do you read this statement from Restore the Magic? I'm immediately convinced that Elon Musk is, quote, is everything. Brutal track record. How do you see it, Jeff?
Good evening, John. I think you've nailed it. This is a very tech-heavy representation in the boardroom here. These people are not creatives. There doesn't seem to be any tie to the creative process other than, you know, financing it. These are people that are primarily working in the high-tech, you know, parts of Silicon Valley, some of them working in other industries like automotive or, you know, clothing manufacturing or even finance that had been involved with MasterCard at one time or another. But these aren't people that are you know, they're really not people, the Hollywood people. They're not the Anaheim and the Orlando people, the people that put together the films and put together, you know, run the theme parks, those types of people who are the backbone of what Disney's about. These are people looking at the bottom line. And I understand that's a criticism about Wall Street these days, but you'd think that in a place that has really been suffering lately, Disney, that they would pay attention to that and bring on people who knew what the business is about rather than just people who are impacted because they handle finances or they have an expertise in HR or anything like that.
I read from Who's Invested in Disney's Future. This is on the Restore the Magic site. Disney CEO Bob Iger, who returned from retirement, has sold more than $1 billion in company stock since 2005, and he currently owns 19 million of Disney stock. Disney's non-management directors collectively own only 14 million in Disney stock. Meanwhile, writes the Restore the Magic, the rest of the shareholders, like Treon is Nelson Peltz's company, remain deeply invested in the hoped-for turnaround at Disney. Treon's board nominees, Nelson Peltz and Jay Rasulo, still believe in the Disney magic. I can't run these numbers, Jeff, but it looks like a lot of negatives. It looks like there's a lot that can be done with the Disney brand. Perhaps we're just telling a story on the basis of being consumers, but that's the point, I think, Jeff. The consumers are not being consulted here. Those of us who took our children to Disney World or Disneyland, those who watched for Disney movies and got them as VCR tapes back in the 20th century and watched them over and over again while supposedly babysitting, we're not represented here. What we have is a board of multi-millionaires. That's who they are.
That's right, John. And again, you hit the nail on the head. These are people that are not connected to the brand, even if they want to say they are. They're not. They're not. You know, Disney is not a B2B, a business-to-business company. It's not a manufacturing company in the sense of turning out widgets or cars or whatever you want to call it. It creates these things, these dreams, these visions, these stories for the consumer, for the audience, whether that takes the shape of a movie, a cartoon, or a ride at one of their parks. That's what Disney creates. They create these feelings, these images, these lifelong touchstones. And I don't think they understand that, you know, by diluting the brand, by focusing so much on what they perceive as investments rather than investing in the company or investing in the brand, that they just diluted it so much. I keep saying that when I talk about Disney, And I'm not Mr. Business. I'm not Mr. Finance, but you don't have to be to see what's happened. You can see it in the parks and the way that, you know, people are coming on as employees and the way they treat guests. You can see it in the movies that they're turning at. You can see it in the vision that Disney has for itself as a company. It's really spread out very thin and it's suffering. I think if it continues on as it is, it's not a good thing for the company. It's not a good thing for America and the and American business. I think if you look at Disney, you have to say it's one of those things in America that is, it is an American, you know, it is a tent pole culturally, business wise, a million other things. You can go anywhere in the world and you know their product and you know it's from America. And when you're here in America, it's something you're proud of, something you identify with. Whether it's the silly stuff like Mickey Mouse or the more serious films and TV shows that they've done or their park operations. And by spreading it out so thin and trying to be experts in all these other things and not concentrating on the important stuff, they've hurt their business.
Yes, my version is sell ESPN. Get out of gambling business. Just get out of it and stay with the kids. Okay, we go to, this is a puzzle to me, Jeff. I didn't mention to you before. What is the Walk of Fame? What's happened to it? This is where you put your handprints and your footprints in the cement. Is that correct?
No, that's the handprints and the footprints is what they used to call Grauman's Chinese Theater. Now it's just the Chinese Theater there. And, you know, they have a lot of different events. They've had the Academy Awards there before. And out in front are the places where, you know, going back to almost the silent screen days, performers would leave their handprints in the cement. But nowadays, or actually for several decades, there's this whole stretch along Hollywood Boulevard called the Walk of Fame. And what they have is they have these stars, these plaques essentially that are implanted in the sidewalk. So what happens is you have a big star who's honored or a director or a recording artist, what have you, and they come and they'll say great things about them and they unveil this star that's on the Walk of Fame. People, of course, can walk on. It's on the sidewalk. But they have a big ceremony about it. It gets in all the media and it supposedly implies some sort of immortality. Your name is in cement forever. And it's actually quite an interesting concept. What most people don't know is that film companies and recording companies and things like that, they pay a pretty penny. That aside, you know, it's something that a lot of tourists always say, I can't wait to come to LA. I cannot wait to come to Hollywood and walk on the Walk of Fame. When they get to Hollywood Boulevard, what they find is they find a long stretch of homeless people, of beggars, people passed out on the sidewalks, you know, the stench of human waste everywhere, sometimes encampments and crime that attends these, that comes along with these types of situations. And Hollywood Boulevard, most people I know who go to it are really so disappointed. They say, wow, that was the biggest, not ripoff, but biggest disappointment I would have ever had when thinking about Hollywood and the silver screen and all the celebrities.
Let's be uplifting. Let's go to an uplifting story because we're headed down the wrong path here. Yeah. And I want to talk about the Infinite Loop store that's closing, Apple's Infinite Loop store. Where is it, Jeff?
That's in Cupertino, which is on the peninsula there, south of San Francisco, near San Jose, right in the heart of Silicon Valley, and that's right where Apple's headquarters is.
They're closing the store where the iPod was created, where the original iPhone and iPad were also made. But this isn't related to trouble in the streets, right? This isn't about the homeless or the encampment or crime. This is just a decision to make to close the company store.
That's right. And they also closed the company store in Hawaii on the same day. But, of course, the one at the mothership there is the one that's going to get the most attention. It certainly got a lot of attention in the Northern California media. And people are wondering, does this portend something about, you know, the future of Apple? But probably not, because that facility there is so ginormous, as they say, that it probably just means that Apple's tightening its belt in some place and saying, look, let's concentrate on these things. We don't really get much benefit from a store like this. Yeah, you get the Apple fanboys who come in, they get the T-shirts and they get photos. But it's really not something, it's certainly not the same kind of draw that when you go to major shopping retail places like the Grove in LA or in Sydney, Australia, or other places where they have these giant Apple stores that become tourist attractions unto themselves.
Now, a really positive story, Oakland. The Oakland A's are going to Las Vegas, but the stadium's not ready. So what is the what's plan B?
So they're talking about the possibility of them moving to Salt Lake City until the club can build their new home in Las Vegas. And so, you know, if you're going to try to drive it from Oakland, it's going to be 11 or 12 hours drive. But they're also going to consider a ballpark in nearby Sacramento. And there have been some visits and talks about that. So I think that's a stronger possibility, but it wouldn't be bad to have one in Salt Lake. They have not had a pro team there of that magnitude.
Yes, and they can fill the stadium. And what chiefly they're accomplishing, Jeff, is that they're putting fans in the stands. That's been the missing piece of Oakland these last years, if I remember your reporting. Also, the stadium was out of date.
That's correct. The stadium was woefully inadequate. It was just a mess. It was a failure on every level. And as time went on, as the team's record became worse and worse, along with the stadium's condition getting worse and worse, you had fewer and fewer people showing up. So you're just talking a few thousand people at a game. It was embarrassing. You know, they could barely fill any part of the stadium because it was such a small crowd.
Finally, where is Aliso Beach?
Aliso Beach is here in Orange County. It's just south of, it's actually part of Laguna Beach toward the south end. It's a beautiful area, big wide open beach with some rocky outcroppings and tide pools. And when we happened to be there today, it was just gorgeous.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.